Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Glenn Gilbo, SEC columnist at Outkick.com, joining us now. Glenn, how are you?
Glenn? You got Glenn?
Glenn Gilbo?
Glenn might have went out to get the vaccine.
Oh, hey, Glenn. There he is.
What's up, Glenn? How are you?
Hey. Good. How are you guys?
Good. So, obviously, a wild 96 hours since the LSU-Florida game and then the subsequent mutual parting of ways. How did we get here in 21 months?
You got to win.
Win.
Well, I think, I think Coach O made a couple of hires that didn't work out, and particularly Bo Pelini, and they had that bad 5-5 season, mainly because of the defense. And then he didn't recover well enough and quick enough to please Scott Woodward and the board, So it was the setup of five and five, and then the rough start this year. But I thought it was awful quick. I mean, I thought he deserved the chance to see if he could turn around this season, and it looked like he may have last Saturday, but that was already too late because he was fired the week before.
Now, Glenn, my perception, you always have to have your players want to play for you, and they want to feel like that you always have their back. I think that Coach O, if you look at it, probably about 15 months ago, it was during the COVID season, 2020, right before you kicked off against Mississippi State, that the locker room, the large portion of the locker room was upset. Black players hearing their coach saying, that they love President Trump, whatever, whom they perceive as maybe touting racist policies and beliefs. And then I think that's where it kind of sparked the tension. And then we look, when that occurred 2 weeks later, the teams, all teams across the country, you just saw a snowball effect. We're skipping practices, the whole peaceful protest, racial inequality after the death of George Floyd. And then all of a sudden, the players are marching to the president's office. Coach O didn't join his team. When the players asked Coach O to take part, he sent his assistant coaches to meet them to kind of tone down or temper the situation. And then when Coach O eventually met with his players in the LSU's president's office, players were not necessarily happy with Coach O's contributions. Where you look at Coach Saban, from the get-go, I think he marched with the players. So don't – I think that's one thing. Who's around Coach O? And I think they did him a disservice not having the pulse of the team to help him out in that regard of what you have to do. Very similar when you look at Drew Brees, and he's expected to lead the team. And what he was confronted with, he had to apologize not one, two, but like three or four times, considering you're the leader of a team, and whether it's major college football or the NFL – it is 70-75% African-American. You got to get those guys to play for you, and you got to get them to where they believe you have their back. And if they don't, then that's going to affect whether you're winning or losing. And if it affects whether you're winning or losing and you're 500, that's unacceptable at LSU.
Yeah, I think I don't really know if I think Ed kind of lost the locker room. Partly because of what you just explained, though. I can tell you, the players didn't tell him they were marching. He found out about it later.
Okay.
He should have got over there quicker. He sent his assistants, but and the players, they kind of misunderstood Orgeron's comments about Trump, because Orgeron was back in Democratic Governor John Bel Edwards.
Yes,
you know, he was politically behind Trump. He was just being nice to the president, even though he may have disagreed with a lot of his policies. But the players kind of took that and ran with it. But
right.
I still think Coach O. I still don't think that's why they lost. Though he lost.
I agree, Glenn. I agree with
there.
You.
He lost because of Bo Pelini. And I said Bo Pelini was a bad hire before he hired Bo Pelini. That's why they lost.
But Glenn, along those lines. Okay, you look at Bo Pelini. Now this is the fault that Coach O has also. He is loyal to the people that have taken care of him. Goes back to like Jimmy Johnson, Dennis Erickson, and Pete Carroll. You could say, well, he even admitted that maybe you shouldn't admit this, that, okay, I didn't go to like a formal interview with Bo Pelini.
That was a mistake.
A mistake. Like he trusted, okay, if Pete Carroll's telling me, now, you know, the game changes over the decades. But if Pete Carroll's telling me that Bo Pelini's the right hire, I just think that's how loyal Coach O was, like, to individual like Pete Carroll.
Well, you got to do your own homework.
No, you're right. I agree.
Look in the man in the mirror.
Yep.
You hired him.
Right.
Where he did do the due diligence for Joe Brady. And then the pass game coordinator he hired last year, he didn't really look into him too much. That was a quick hire.
He trusted Joe Brady.
Quick hire. He did his research on Joe Brady.
But no, I'm talking about he trusted Joe Brady, Coach Brady, with Pete. Like kind of a right hand, a clone of kind of like Joe Brady with Pete. But, you know, Glenn, a lot of people don't realize the impact and the stability with Coach Ensminger when they won the championship and calling plays. That's an art to that.
Right, and you know, Ensminger was one of his good hires as well. But I do think, after the national championship, he kind of lost focus. You know, he wasn't interviewing coaches. He wasn't working as hard. I don't think. And he thought he could get it back, and he didn't. But I still say he got cut short before he had enough time to bring it back.
Gilbo, I think that, we've talked about this before, that when you have success, I mean, it's hard to deal with. That's why most people don't sustain it for very long. They don't know how to handle it. But it was interesting. I went back and I wrote an article about Dave Aranda, and he told me this. This was the weekend before the national championship game. And I'd asked him about, you know, what kind of is the separation? You kind of almost associate head coach, you run the defense, and becoming the head coach. What's the biggest plus in that? And very quickly, he answered it. He said, first things first, the money. And he started to laugh. And he said, secondly, the ability to hire a staff and – also people around you. He said, because I think that is the most important thing as a head coach. And he said, I've learned it because he said, listen, I got fired. You know, I've been fired before. So he said, I really think that is the biggest kind of hurdle when you're a head coach and when you start losing coaches, that to have that inner circle around you that you trust that will have your back but also tell you when you're wrong.
And be honest
and not just slap your back.
Yeah, sugarcoat everything.
And to hire good people around you. At that point, I took it almost like a benign comment that he was just giving me that as, that was part of your question, so I answered it. I think back now, maybe he was trying to tell me something. Maybe he was really trying to tell me something at that point, and maybe he kind of saw something there that he was trying to tip me off. Now, he didn't get into details, but don't you believe that inner circle around a head coach and also hiring good assistants, if players is 1A, that's a close 1B, and I mean really close.
And that's what makes Nick Saban a genius.
Of all
a genius. When you look at all the coaches.
And when you have really good assistant coaches, it helps with the development of players.
Yes.
And I think that was one of the other problems at LSU. Ed has these great recruiting classes. Three top fives are in there right now. But the players aren't being developed because of the poor assistant coaches he's had. And those kind of flow together.
I think it went almost, hey, if you're a great recruiter, I'm going to bring you in. But you got to develop people. It's just not about recruiting. It's about developing players.
Yep. Exactly.
Glenn, who's the guy you feel like is going to be the top target?
Well, I'm not sure who the top target of Scott Woodward is, because I don't think anybody knows. He except Scott. He keeps it close to his vest. But I really like Lane Kiffin. I think he's gotten more mature. He's a more balanced coach now. He's gotten better on defense. He's young. He can recruit. And LSU has never had a true offensive coordinator as its head coach. And I think that would be very important, because then all he has to worry about is the defensive side, which Coach O was either hiring a defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator like every year he was at LSU. And he's young. I like Luke Fickell, too. He's also
at Cincinnati, yeah.
Yeah.
Glenn? Because this is the elephant in the room. We got the first African-American president at LSU, William Tate. I think even though everyone's saying Woodward's the man, they ain't doing anything without William Tate's approval. And when you look at that, I think he wants to have a say in the hire, to say the least. And he wants Woodward to consider candidates of color. That's where we're at right now. And then you look at Michigan State's Mel Tucker, who's African-American, one-time LSU assistant, and the coach Nick Saban. You look on the gambling websites, he's like the betting favorite.
He went from 8th to 1 and overnight.
Because William Tate, and then you brought up like Lane Kiffin, Luke Fickell, and then you look at James Franklin, who's also African-American. And then the day and age we live in today, minority hires, you look at Ron Rivera, the NFL exploits that with the Washington football team. Even Dave Aranda at Baylor. Now, has he won anything? But he's a Mexican-American. He helped us win a national championship. Winning that national championship. Everyone, LSU fans, remember that? That was recent. But you don't think that comes into play, that William Tate has to approve what Woodward says, and that he has to take a good look like candidates like a Mel Tucker or when you look at that, or a James Franklin, or even I'm trying to think of his name with the Kansas City Chiefs
Eric
right
Bieniemy.
Now. Eric Bieniemy. Now he might want to stay in the NFL, but I think they're not just pushing by the wayside these African American candidates who are qualified, like a Lane Kiffin or Fickell.
I think Mel Tucker would be a great hire. I remember Nick Saban was upset when he lost Mel as an assistant way back in 2000. He just knew that he was going places. But, Mel just got to Michigan State. He's undefeated this year. I don't know if you can go get him. I mean, he's making a lot of money already. That would be a good target for Scott Woodward to go after, though. No question. He's young. He can recruit. I do think it's Woodward's call, though. I mean, the new president – maybe in the room, but the new president's going to be smart enough to realize that Scott's the one experienced at hiring coach.
That's why you hired him.
It's call.
You hired him for this moment, for making this particular hire.
And it's a big hire. And, Glenn, you remember, because Nick would kind of have the same speech no matter where he went. And one of the two things he would always talk about was why he took the LSU job was, one, per capita. Louisiana is production of pro players. Four out of the last 5 years, Louisiana has finished in the top three. This year, number one. Last year was the only year they didn't finish in the top three. They were fifth. The other part was, man, when you at Michigan State, you little brother. Michigan, okay, you might be on page three. That was his deal in Michigan on any of the newspapers. Now, again, it's a different world. But that Michigan State would always be looked at like the little brother, And he knew one thing. Nobody was going to make him little brother at LSU. He had to stay basically to himself. Now, the biggest competition in Louisiana for LSU players in Louisiana is Alabama.
Yeah,
It's not anybody in the state.
No, I mean, come on.
That's why I think Tucker, I think, is going to give this a long look when they're going to come a-calling because of money and also because of exactly what Nick said when he took the LSU job.
Yeah, I mean, if Mel Tucker, if Scott Woodward could get Mel Tucker, that would be a great hire. And if Mel Tucker looks at Louisiana the way Nick did, you know, you're the only school there. There's all these players there geographically close. You know, Nick has said a couple of times that as from a recruiting base standpoint, the LSU job's better than the Alabama job. I mean, he didn't have to go as far to get players when he was in LSU as he does at Alabama. And, you know, Mel would be great competition for Nick up there in North Louisiana and a meet where Nick likes to.
He likes to go fishing.
Well, and you know, Glenn, they've had some fans, you know, the casual fans, they go, Bobby, who's this Mel Tucker cat? Who is this guy? I said, all I know is Michigan State's paying him $5.5 million a year. So he's not an unknown.
No, they had to pry him away from Colorado.
Yeah, so I'm saying he's getting $5.5 million Michigan State. Even like a Luke Fickell, he's getting $3.5 million. So these are kind of household established candidates. It's not somebody you pick it out of the blue, a dark horse that has half skins on the wall.
And I was told, Glenn, by somebody who I trust pretty well, that their feeling is that really Lane Kiffin would like to head back to the NFL.
That's true.
That if Kiffin takes off, and he might take a long look at that this year. Man, if Matt Corral leaves, man, I don't know who's going to play quarterback, but he can't play it as good as that guy. I think the NFL is more of a future for him.
Well and the thing
than
is,
jumping
like,
around in the college
yeah,
ranks.
And, Glenn, like Mike's saying, you know, 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired every year in the NFL. Every year.
And he's a pedigree.
It's 6, 7, 8.
Look at his dad.
Okay, and you look at Monty Kiffin, but you look at Lane. When he was coaching, they had like a dozen players older than him. He gets the job with the Raiders. He's like 32 years old. Is that how he was?
36.
But he was so young. I mean, it was like.
And it was Al Davis, okay, day when Al Davis was not the Al Davis he once was.
Yeah, so.
He was the Al Davis that wanted to be Al Davis.
Yeah.
But
see,
at his age, he couldn't. He didn't have the
sharpness.
There's
a reason why that Coach O, you remember when he wanted to hire Lane Kiffin to run the offense? He goes, I know that cat knows what he's doing. It's like a no-brainer. And look how efficient he was on the Coach Saban in Alabama. Now, he went to Florida Atlantic before he ended up going to Ole Miss. But, you know, Glenn, do you think it has to be a squeaky, clean candidate? Like, what I mean, like, considering what LSU's been dealing with, you look at Darius Geis, Les Miles, you might even say, like, Coach O and all, and everything that's come about, that even though they have skins in the wall, it can't be an Urban Meyer or that kind of individual.
Or even Gruden, who's been brought up.
Yeah.
Come on. That can't fly.
No, I think Scott Woodward is going to stay away from that. And I think he hired a 45-year-old baseball coach, Jay Johnson. I think he's looking at that. I think he's looking long-term to get a younger coach and someone who might be there for a long time. And that might get him away from Kiffin, because Kiffin's already more qualified than some current NFL head coaches.
Glenn, Nick Saban was 47 when he took the job at LSU. Luke Fickell is 48.
Well, Lane Kiffin has fun off the field too.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Lane's growing up a little bit. I think he's growing up. Nick was 49 actually when he came to LSU. But he's, he's a young 69 now. That guy, he's a machine.
Right, that's unbelievable, Glenn. Glenn, in all your time in covering sports, and I've told this to Bobby before, and also to Christian, that even after we shed this mortal coil we in, they're still going to be writing books about what Saban did at Alabama. To have a program and to sustain success like that, This is a if you live to be 100 years old, you're not going to see anybody like that.
Well,
it's unbelievable to run that he's on.
Well, Glenn, and you think about it, you old enough. We grew up, Paul Bear Bryant can't hold Nick Saban's jock.
Well, no,
Paul didn't have
scholarship limits. NFL draft early, commuter world, transfer portal.
You know what Bama, what they think of Paul Bear Bryant? Come on.
Oh, yeah, and Bear used to tell the bowl people who he wanted to play in the bowl. He picked his own opponent.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. He had it going. But that's Scott Woodward's goal. He wants to pick the Nick Saban before he's Nick Saban. And really, that's what Mark Emmert did when he hired Nick Saban from Michigan State. Saban was a hot commodity, but he was no legend. You know, he really just had one good season at Michigan State, and Emmert saw it where a lot of other people didn't see it, including Michigan State. They didn't even try to keep him, you know.
Well, it's amazing. And Glenn, you know what's amazing is that look what Saban has done, all the different prolific quarterbacks, not necessarily the NFL level. I mean, you don't know if Tua's even going to work out with the Dolphins. And then you look, okay, you had Nick Saban, what we view in the 21st century, and Bill Belichick. Okay, look where Bill Belichick's at, a highly competitive teams, but without Tom Brady. So all of a sudden, Tom Brady looks like, man, I think he made a big difference, where Saban has won with a number of different quarterbacks.
Yeah, and, you know, I never forget one time Saban, during an interview while he was at LSU, he said, I see myself as the head coach here as a personnel director. That's how he saw him.
Yep.
He was always filling out his roster, you know, not just signing the five-star players and signing 18 receivers and DBs like LSU tends to do, but making sure you got those linemen, you know. And that's where Les and Coach O have kind of failed. They haven't offensive line as well and the defensive line. You know, they're going too heavy on the highly ranked skill players.
Glenn Gilbo, SEC columnist at Outkick.com. Thanks, Glenn.
Okay.
Thank you, Gilbo.
Thanks, Glenn.
I will step away and come back for Jason and Mandeville and you two at 504-260-1870. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.